Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side.
Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What's your name?
ESPN 97.5. KFNC 97.9. HD2. Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Presented by Zadok Jewelers.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce.
Hour two begins now. In about 25 minutes, Michael Carroll will join us. Be ready for that. You guys need stuff to watch. He'll provide answers for you if you have questions about it. But I did want to get to this. We'll get into some more text and stuff. We didn't have a lot of time in the last segment. So we'll get into D'Amico Ryans and what he said about a couple, or in particularly one defensive back in particular. But first, we'll get to somehow, some way, this guy became a topic of conversation this week. There was some James Harden erasure on social media, people discussing his past as far as a playoff performer. One Titus Howard thought he was a better playoff performer than Dwayne Wade. And normally, I don't tweet. I'm not all that interested in it, but some things I can't let stand. So I just quote tweeted Titus Howard and put up a stat. Didn't say anything about anything else other than James Harden is a guy. Since 1974, he leads the world in shooting 25% or below from the field with 10-plus shots. No other player in playoff history has done it as much as he has. He's done it 17 times. And those are just the numbers. We've all seen the performances, all the concert dates he puts up during the playoffs. We know what it's about. I just couldn't allow it. Some things you can't let go. And that was one I couldn't. And now, you know, people want to push back against ring culture, and I'm there. I don't think a player's worth should be determined by how many rings he loses, or excuse me, wins or doesn't win. There are a lot of factors. Teammates, in James Harden's case, you're playing one of the best teams of all time, and then they go in it, add Kevin Durant. There are some things you simply can't overcome. I'm not going to blame him for not winning rings per se. I will blame him for some of his performances. The disappearing acts, we all know. I don't have to go through them. Houston knows. Now, the Brooklyn people know, and now the Sixers people know, and the Clipper people know too. Four fan bases know. So the erasure about what he was as a playoff performer is crazy to me, considering he's done it to four fan bases.
The Thunder fans also know.
In that finals, they do know too. So five. Five of them. But at least that one can be brushed aside by, you know, yeah, it was young against the Heatles. But Stephen A. Smith brought it up. That particular performance because of this. James Harden is doing his world tour. You'll be able to tell by the accent of the guy asking the question. He goes around the world promoting himself, his shoes, Adidas basketball, and he wants to be thought of as a winner.
How do you hope the players and these fans outside, how do you want them to remember you after you finish? What do you want to them think about James Harden's name?
That I was a winner, that I was a teacher, you know what I mean? That I had a different love for the game, you know what I mean? Like, put the money aside, I really enjoy and love the game of basketball and playing it. So whether it's, you know, being with the kids, you know, here, or, you know, when I travel, you know, other places in Europe, when I go to China, I just want, you know, people to understand and understand how much I really love and enjoy the game of basketball.
I'm going to remember him for giving another grown man a bag full of honey buns and money.
That's not a good birthday. Ain't a good birthday gift no more?
That's what I'm going to
remember. A grown man, you give him some money? It was like 50 grand.
Hell no.
More than that. You wouldn't take it?
I wouldn't give no
and
man
a bag full of honey buns.
What, you trying to say I'm sweet?
You say you like honey buns.
Nah.
Are you trying to say I'm sweet is really old school. I appreciate it. That was Rasheed Wallace on his podcast, by the way. But are you trying to say I'm sweet? Yeah, that's from a different generation. Get Sean.
I mean, he's not that far off.
No, don't give me honey buns. I don't want that as a gift. the money in a bag, okay, whatever. You can question my relationship with another man if I'm getting that type of cash.
Can't give another man honey buns.
But don't
now?
Give me not just a honey bun. It was tons of honey buns he was given.
It's also funny that we're doing like this new generation talk.
But look,
James Harden's 35 years old.
Yeah, he's a little bit. Yeah, he's my generation. He's a millennial. Yeah,
He might be closer to Rasheed Wallace's age than he is to Lil Baby's age.
Calling the question, what the hell is he doing hanging out with Lil Baby?
Calling him sweet. That's what he's doing.
not in his words, but in his actions. Give me honey buns. I mean, it's straightforward. That was Rasheed Wallace on Underdog Sheed. I believe that's the name of the podcast. Or Sheed and Tyler is the name of the podcast. But what are we doing? You want to be remembered as a winner? That's going to be tough. You've done too many things in the playoffs, which is where the NBA discourse begins and ends, as far as winners are concerned, for people to remember that. You know what? As the years go by, years and years go by, and it just becomes about looking at his numbers, James Harden is going to be looked at as one of the best players to play. We already think that. But as far, even the playoff stuff, which can be called into question, years from now, you just look at Basketball Reference, you're going to see a lot of James numbers and you're going to go, wow, he was pretty good in the playoffs. You look at the averages. Sure, they've gone down compared to the regular season. Hard to not be the case considering how dominant he was in his Rockets tenure. But then you start to pick apart the individual game logs. But how many people are going to do that? But for us who remember, like Pepperidge Farms, we're going to remember he got Jonathan Simmons a deal. If you don't remember who Jonathan Simmons was, he was a guy for the Spurs outplaying James Harden in those playoffs, particularly in that game six where Tony Parker and Kawhi were unavailable. And Simmons was the best wing on the floor, the best perimeter player on the floor. He got a deal from Orlando and eventually just disappeared. This is what you'll remember. The double-digit turnover game, and they're outmatched in that 2015 series against the Warriors. But in that elimination game, he wanted everyone to know, we're not competing tonight. The statements about, hey, the ball just didn't find me, when he was asked why he stopped shooting for the Sixers in a game six against the Heat. These are just off rip, by the way. I don't have this written down anywhere. I just remember them. So how could anyone have a real conversation about him being remembered as a winner? I'm not even talking about winning titles. I'm simply talking about showing up and not embarrassing yourself.
Yeah, like losing with grace.
Yes.
Losing.
Going out on your shield.
Losing with your head held high.
You can go out. Well, he always did. The head was always held high, particularly at the white parties after the games when he was being eliminated. But for the rest of us, we're judging the greats. He wants to be a great. And in fact, the numbers would tell you he's one of them. Maybe should have another MVP. That's a debate for a different time. But if you can start listing off awful performances from one of the best players in the game without even having to look them up, that's a problem.
And
he's never going to get around it.
I would say that you can consider him a great. One thing you cannot consider him. One word you cannot consider him as.
A winner.
that I am not saying he's not great.
He is,
no one's saying he
wanna
was
rank,
great.
You want to rank him as a top five shooting guard? Cool.
Go for it. Don't put him ahead of Wade.
Yes.
Don't put him ahead of Kobe. Don't put him ahead of
I don't
Jordan.
Care like, how many how many step backs he got off. I don't care if he dropped that clipper and looked at him and then made the three.
Disrespect to Wesley Johnson.
Very disrespectful.
Star of clipped.
I get it. James Harden and his game was great for social media. The 60-point games, the 50-point games, that run that he went on 1 year for the Rockets, great. And
they all happened in January and December.
Yeah, go put up 60 in a game seven. Then we have a different conversation. So, guys, people who love him, you were here. I get it. I watched him. Can't deny his greatness from October to March. The greatness was there. And then it was sprinkled in April and May.
April is pretty great.
Yeah, April, great. Sprinkled in May, a couple games in the playoffs. And then we had the other times where he wasn't just bad, he was awful. And you could say, in some instances, cost his team games. You know how bad it was at one point? People were having semi-serious conversations about whether he threw a game. That's how bad it was.
The Jonathan Simmons game.
Yes.
The game that made Jonathan Simmons a very rich man.
So I just asked all the people who might have had Harden in their accounts at one point while he was here.
Oh, don't go after Harden Muse. Oh,
There are others.
It's been hard enough.
Or others, who's want
profile
to.
Profile pick might still be James Harden.
Yes, you have followed him throughout his career because you love what he did in this town. I get it. He was great. But don't lie to me or yourself about what he was.
Also, we were listing off the months. I'd be remiss to not mention September as one of the months where he doesn't always show up well, because not only is that, you know, right before training camp, normally, you know, works himself into shape.
Definitely.
Nothing against that. I'm also thinking about 2020 playoffs that got played in September.
In the bubble, yeah.
Game 7, great block. Clutch block.
On Lu Dort.
Clutch block to beat Lu Dort and the Thunder, who and Chris Paul.
What were his numbers beyond the block, which kind of saved him in that Game 7?
Okay, well, three blocks, actually, more than one block.
Defensive presence.
Yes. Five fouls.
So working
two
hard.
Two steals, so working he was hard. Working hard on defense.
Yeah, stocks for James Harden.
Yeah.
Big stocks game.
Only three rebounds. But if you're wondering, like shooting-wise,
mm-hmm.
4 for 15.
Mm, concert date for James Harden in Game 7.
One for nine from three.
That's the James I remember, and all of you remember, so stop lying. But he did have the block that kind of erased what was going to be another disaster class.
Hey, he knew that the Rockets only needed his 17 points because Robert Covington and Eric Gordon were going to drop 21 in Game 7.
Getting saved by those two guys.
Lead the Rockets to the second round.
Against that Thunder team. Wasn't Chris Paul on that Thunder team?
Yes, he was. Yes. Chris Paul. 5 for 11, 19 points.
I guess I would say
11 rebounds, 12 assists. Chris
he was
Paul
great.
Awesome.
He was awesome in that game. It was going to be the Chris Paul redemption, I mean, because that was the year after James had him gone. Get out of here.
Lu Dort dropped 30.
I know. I remember Lu Dort being the better player that day. Chris Paul was too. It just so happens that James got that block and he screamed loud.
20 year
when he got the block
in an empty gym.
To no one.
Shaquille Alexander, who was like 20. And he wasn't good that entire series. In Game 7, 19 points, 6 for 11 from the field.
James was, at best, the fourth best perimeter player? No, Eric, the fifth best perimeter player on the floor in the game? If you want to throw Covington as a perimeter player, even lower?
Russell Westbrook also had 20 points.
but James did have the block, which made people forget about the rest of it.
Jeff Green, 13 points off the bench.
You could continue list guys, and I'm going to be like, yeah, I remember. Yeah, all those guys are better than him. He did make a clutch block, so credit to him for that. So, let's recap it all. We understand he's great. We understand he was a dominant force, unguardable, one of the best players of that period. Could have had a couple of MVPs if things went his way. That's all understood. But don't come in here and lie in my face talking about how he's a winner and great playoff performer. That ain't real. That ain't true. Accept it. He has flaws. And no one's going to remember you as a winner. But it's fine. You're going to be a Hall of Famer. Unquestioned. One of the best players to ever play the game. From the months of October to mid-April. The other stuff? We'll forget about it. We won't talk about that. What we will talk about is more Texan stuff, because D'Amico Ryans spoke. We know Lewis Riddick loves him. D'Amico Ryans had high praise for a Texans recent draft pick. And also, CBS Sports has an article about who could be a big contributor from this past draft beyond day one. So really, non-first round picks, who could contribute? And they list the Texan, because they list everyone in the AFC to have a pick. But the Texans' particular pick, we'll talk about when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
What I've seen from Kamari is I've seen a guy who's been locked in from day one since he's gotten here. He's been locked in. He's done everything we've asked him to do. Kamari's a guy who doesn't make the same mistake twice. Right? He's very competitive. He's making plays, like instinctive player. And I think he's a lot of guys are fired up to see what he's been able to do over the past couple weeks. So excited to see how he's trending, right? He's trending in the right direction.
That was D'Amico Ryans on Texans rookie Kamari Lassiter. Got rave reviews, not just from D'Amico, obviously he's most important, but the people out there watching during Texans mandatory OTAs liked what they saw from him. So have they hit on a pick? They're in shorts. I don't know. But it's better than the alternative. Kamari's getting cooked. It's better than that alternative. So we will take the praise, even if it comes with some caveats, mainly they don't even have pads on. But I'll take it.
To be fair, how often do we hear this guy is just getting cooked all day? Like, normally it's like, oh, they beat him on this one play. And a lot of times it's to big up the other guy, too.
Definitely. It's the receiver in question. Yeah.
Or it's like, you know, even Laremy Tunsil can't stay in front of Will Anderson. It's like something like that where I feel like we don't get a lot of like, ugh.
Well, no one's writing how we talk. Like, if we were out there,
C.J. Henderson.
I probably wouldn't write, man, C.J.'s cooked or getting washed, or he's washed. I wouldn't write that out there either. But in my head, that's what I'd be thinking.
Gosh, Stroud's done nothing but throw picks out here. What's going on?
Yeah, it'll be C.J.'s having a rough day. Like, Zach Wilson struggled with the starters yesterday. That's what they wrote about him.
It'll be defense stepped up.
Defense dominated. Yeah, you're playing against your own guys.
It'll be defense stepped up.
Defense had a great day today. They harassed the receivers and made C.J. Stroud double clutch, took some covered sacks and Lumble threw a couple picks because of great plays, so on and so forth.
Kamari got a great PBU against Diggs.
Yeah, not that Diggs can separate. Yeah. We can't write that. Yeah, you know, it's a back and forth of team, your own team fighting against each other on different plays. We understand. It's just how things are done. So Kamari Lassiter, brave reviews early on for him. CBS Sports believes the other guy who was drafted in for the Texans from the secondary will be a potential rookie guy who could earn a key role. And a lot of it has to do with the lack of depth at safety. But Kalen Bullock, the safety out of USC, it is a guy CBS Sports believes can make a real run at real snaps. He was the 78th overall pick, third rounder, had 9 interceptions, 15 pass breakups. So he got his ball, he got his hands on a lot of footballs during his time at USC. And because of Jimmy Ward being older and injury prone, and, you know, Petrie not being necessarily a guy that is dependable, Kalen Bullock has a real shot, according to them, to make a move. That's more to do about projection than actual production, if you can call it production during camp. But even Bullock has been a guy people like the way he moves, longer guy, fast. Jalen Petrie talked about him being a dog. Always got to have that dog in you. So far, so good for the Texans' picks on day two. And they've had some success there. Certainly the Nico Collins of the world, and Tank Dell. They've had some success with wide receivers on day two. Now they're trying to hit on secondary members on day two. So a lot. We talked about it earlier, the hype surrounding them. The margins are slim. Sean and I agree with him when he said that if they had not beaten the Colts, the hype would be there, but maybe not to the level that it is now. But we're all in. Ask anyone. Texans are at the top of the list of teams who can make a run. And it's not one of those, oh, surprising runs. It's the team that people believe in because we're in on Stroud, we're in on D'Amico, and we're in on the offensive weapons. At least for narrative sakes, they got everything you need to jump in on being a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, I always think of the late August, early September, when they get all the ESPN people and all the NFL Network people, and they put out that big graphic with all their Super Bowl matchups and how there's always one team that isn't either the Chiefs or, back in the day, the Patriots, where it's like, actually, in the AFC, like, you should just pick the Chiefs every year, or you should just pick the Patriots every year. Yeah, in basketball, in the 2000s, like, you should probably just pick either the Lakers or Spurs every year. Like, you don't really need to but every year in the offseason, the media and the NFL fan base just falls in love with the team, and it's just like, you know, what about the Buffalo Bills knocking off the Kansas City Chiefs? Something that has literally never happened in a playoff.
They had their best shot last year. And no, not even then.
They had their best shot the last couple years.
Yeah, but at least this time it was at home. And yet...
True. I mean, there's one where they're up with 13 seconds left. That was their best shot.
True. Situationally...
They're kicking the ball back to him with 13 seconds
once left. The game was kicked off, yes, 13 seconds ago was their best shot. I just think it's funny that people keep harping on 13 seconds. It only took the Chiefs 10 seconds to get in field goal range.
Yeah,
they had 3 seconds to spare and kicked a field goal to tie it. Didn't even take 13.
They didn't score at the buzzer.
No. No. You can't actually do that. You can't run a play with no time left. It was 10 seconds. They were good and not even rushed.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a desperate situation.
Yeah, so there's always a team that has way more logos on those graphics than you think it really deserves, or you're like, oh, I guess this is kind of the flavor of the month, so to speak, for the NFL media. And I feel like that's what the Texans are. I think fast forwarding 3 months, that's what we're looking at with the Texans, is that they're going to be the team that everyone on NFL Network is like, well, we can't all pick the Chiefs. So, someone's, you know what? You know who I really like? Let me be the first one out there to say the Houston Texans could knock off the Kansas City Chiefs. And then you look and half the graphic
is going to be Texans. A lot of, let me be the first to say from a lot of people, they're going to say that.
You guys are going to call me crazy. Meanwhile, half the people on the set with them are also picking Texans.
Actually, I agree. We have to wrap up because we're going to get Michael Carroll coming in here with his watch list. But, that sounds like he's looking into crimes. And if you're on the watch list, Michael Carroll's watch list. But it is for this summer, and the movies and the TV shows you should watch. But back to our James Harden conversation before we go. I mentioned that there are some who will tell you how unguardable he is, how he's one of the best offensive players of all time. And I tried to include that in the conversation just to cover that. And yet, our intern, Ryan Diamond out there, was like, I would call James Harden the – don't come in here if you can hear me. I thought I heard movement. One of the best offensive players and maybe the most unguardable player, offensive player of all time. I was like, yeah, from October to mid-April. He goes, no, really? And then he agreed because, yes, that's how it always goes. But I thought I got that out there to acknowledge how great he is as an offensive player when it matters less. Still going to be a Hall of Famer. Still a top five shooting guard. But we know the deal. Coming up next, Michael Carroll, welcome him back, and it's a good time if you want to do something other than watch and talk about sports. Doesn't help us very much if you're into that, but hey, we are all about options, and Michael will provide those options when we come back.
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Some guy is in the building, and we're doing it a day earlier because that guy has other stuff to do tomorrow.
I'm busy creating the watch list, obviously, and working with the feds.
Yes.
You know.
Watch list is always interesting. Don't put me on any watch list.
Oh, well, okay. But
provide a watch list for me when it comes to movies and television and maybe something else, depending on what you're interested in. So Michael Carroll's here to join us. He is the host of Comicast. He hosts that with Jong Lee. Listen to Comicast every Friday night. Well, I say every. Things are getting away. But generally Friday night, 9 to 10 on 97.5. And obviously you can listen to it in podcast form on where you find your podcast. So, Michael, I tasked you with this list a couple weeks ago now.
Yes.
And there's a lot to choose from. So let me ask you how you divided it. Or did you divide it? Did you go TV and movies or did you put them all together?
I did my homework.
Okay.
And I did divide it up into TV and movies.
Okay.
Because I'm an overachiever. And right. I like to bring more to the table. Also, I kind of couldn't pick
understood.
A few things.
The overachiever thing makes you someone who doesn't fit on this show, fit in here. Not overachievers. We're just getting by. Just doing the minimum to make people think we're working hard. So we're here to give you what you should watch. It's a positive week this week. Not what you shouldn't watch, what you should watch.
Yeah, what you should.
So, I don't know if The Acolyte is on the list. I've seen the first two episodes. I've seen Furiosa, which certainly came out before I tasked you with that. So, I've seen those. I like Furiosa.
I like Furiosa, too.
And then I went and watched Mad Max Fury Road yesterday. And now I look at, of course, two different actresses, Theron and Anya Taylor-Joy, and I go, you know what, Charlize, I thought you're a hard ass in this movie. Then I realized what you went through, and I'm like, you know what?
I get it. And you still have a heart. You still have a, because you wanted Max to come along with you pretty early in that movie.
Yeah.
And then he denied you. She had a look of sadness on her face. And then Max stepped up. So I appreciate the context from the first movie.
I appreciate it so much more. I still need to like rewatch it because it's been so long since that first movie came out. But yeah, the Furiosa, for the first hour, it's a little like, it takes a little bit to get going.
Because a lot of it, the Furiosa that you see in the trailer isn't there. It's about her being young, and you see a younger actress playing her.
Yeah, she's not, I mean, honestly, she's not in there for the first like hour.
Yeah.
Like it's, and that's not like a spoiler. It's just, it is what it is because like you said, it's an origin story. It's telling her journey from being a kid all the way up to a younger woman. And then obviously it eventually leads to Fury Road, but I liked it. I thought it was good. I thought it was fun. Chris Hemsworth. I want him as more bad guys.
Yeah. He was
wild. I mean,
just keep Taika Waititi away from him, and I'm great.
Slap a fake nose. Good.
And speaking of that, he had his real life wife in the movie.
Yeah,
twice. She plays two characters. If you look closely, now she's mangled by disfigurement in the as a second character, but she's in it quite a bit. Sean, you've seen it, right?
Yes.
What did you think?
I pretty similarly to Michael. I was more. I guess. Okay with the slower buildup, but there was a point where I was like, is Anya Taylor-Joy gonna be in this movie? because it's separated into, I guess, chapters.
Yes.
Each chapter has a number and a name or a title. And I think Anya Taylor-Joy pops up for chapter 3 and on.
I think so.
So it is weird that she's not in. I don't know if by runtime it's 40% of the movie, but by chapter she's just not in the first two-fifths of the movie.
It feels like the first like 45 minutes to an hour, which is not like, again, it's not like a bad thing. It's just the way
surprising,
the story went.
Considering
it is surprising.
How it was marketed, you didn't expect that. And so they did a good job. I enjoyed it. So I don't want to talk about Acolyte if it's already on your list. We'll see. So Michael, let's start with television. If people want to stay home and they want things to watch, there's certainly some things I expect to be on the list, but it is your list, so let's start. You want to go from 1 to 5 or 5 to 1?
I'll go 5 to 1.
Okay.
Yeah, build up anticipation.
I'll build up, and honestly, number one, number 5, I'm going to go with, I don't know if y'all are fans of the show. I've been a fan of it since it first premiered. The Umbrella Academy.
I'm a fan, yeah.
I thoroughly enjoy the show. It's one of the more underrated shows out there on television.
On Netflix.
On Netflix. Season 4 premieres August 8th of this year. It's hard to describe what it exactly is. It's kind of superhero-y, but not quite. I would almost equate it more to like something like X-Men or something like that.
It's more family drama
It's way more family drama than like superheroing or anything like that. But it's a dysfunctional family that happen to have superpowers.
Yes.
And they're not, I should also say, they're family, but they're not related
in any way. There's a weird, you have to start from the beginning.
Yeah, you really have to.
A weird
start
way
from
they come about, their dad's not from this world. There's a lot of things going on in the show.
They're raised by like a chimpanzee.
Pongo.
Yeah, Pongo. Yeah, that's, I say all these things. It's like legit. Yeah, it's in the show. Just watch it. But it's good. It's really good.
Yeah, I'm excited about the return, the final season of Umbrella Academy. Netflix giving a show 4 seasons is an upset as it is. It's got to be is the fourth season, right?
Yeah, fourth season.
Giving it next at this point. Now it started before Netflix started doing this, but getting it to a fourth season is a big deal considering how Netflix treats their shows.
I was honestly going to say, like, to get it to season 4, I'm honestly surprised
considering how niche it is and who knew. I mean, it's out there. Gerard Way's part of it. If you don't know who he is, the lead singer of My Chemical Romance. Mm. So there is a name attached to it. He's not in the show. He wrote. He's been a part of it. I think it's his comic book, right?
It's based off a graphic novel.
Yeah, graphic novel. Yeah. So considering you not a lot of people knew about the IP, and the fact that it's lasted this long speaks to what they've done with that show.
And they cut shows like
all
one season and done like all the time. So I am very much surprised that Umbrella Academy got a season 4, but it's well worth the watch, and you have plenty of time to kind of catch up on it. I honestly need to catch up on season 3. But yeah, it's a phenomenal show. Great cast of characters, family drama at the forefront, I would say. Again, the superhero stuff, honestly, I don't even know if I call it superhero stuff, but the more comic booky nature of it is there, but it is more of a family drama, which I really enjoy.
Okay, so we got 5, Umbrella Academy. I agree with that. What's number 4?
Now, this is, I should also add, this list is 100% for me. Like, I didn't make it. I made it for some people, but it's honestly like a list for me. Because Batman, The Caped Crusader, okay, comes out August 1st, 2024 on Prime Video. I forgot about this show, and I forgot it's coming out this year. It's with Bruce Timm, who was the creator on the original animated series back in the 90s. He's back. Matt Reeves is producing. J.J. Abrams, I believe, is producing. Initially started out, it was going to be on Max. Then Max does what Max does, and now it's been picked up by Prime Video. But the first season is like a reimagining of the Batman story, but with a more noir take to it. And it looks very similar to the animated series, but it's telling, I mean, honestly, the animated show back in the day was kind of adult in a lot of ways. This one is supposed to lean into that even more so.
Yeah, Matt Reeves, the man behind The Batman.
Yes.
And of course, the sequel will be coming as well. So he's behind this one. Batman's my favorite DC character, at least certainly superhero, so I'll be watching that. The World's Greatest Detective.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the high point of, or what's the focus of this one as well. And then, I can't stress, the art looks really good.
Okay, cool.
It looks really, really nice.
So we've got Umbrella Academy. We've got an animated show. What's your number three?
I think a lot of this is now getting into pretty much the next 3 weeks.
Sure.
House of the Dragon Season 2.
I thought that might be number one. I'm surprised. So,
honestly, you know, like, I like Game of Thrones. I like House of the Dragon. But I'm not, like, the biggest... Like,
and as Michael Carroll said, this is a list for him.
This is totally a list for me.
So House of the Dragon is back. Season 2 of that show. It's supposed to get... Season 1 ended dramatically with, right, a surprise death, if you haven't read Fire and Blood, the book that it's based off of. But the war is beginning. It's, mm-hmm, going to get more violent, more dramatic, crazier. At least that's what we're suspecting. House Green, or Team Green versus Team Black. Sean is squarely on Team Black's side.
Fist in the air.
Well done.
It's an inside joke, unless you're watching YouTube or Twitch. So House of Dragons Season 2 is your number three.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously one of the better shows in recent time, and it's a good follow-up to what Game of Thrones did. For me, it's just a little bit lower just because I like the IPs of the next two, okay, a little bit more.
Okay.
But I am a fan of House of the Dragon. I'm curious how we continue that story. And yeah, there's going to be a lot more warring this time around.
And that show begins two Sundays from today.
Yeah, June 16th.
Yes.
So on Max. So, hey, get Max. I'm surprised by how many Prime Video things I put on this list, because obviously I mentioned Batman the Caped Crusader at number four. Number two, The Boys. Season 4. It's one of the best superhero shows out there, but in the most cynical, satirical, that reflects our current society and certain things in so many ways that can be tough to watch at times. But
the gore can be next level. I mean,
it's so over the top. It can be funny.
It's almost like, all right, guys. Like, yeah, it's to a point where it's somewhat shocking, but you've been so. You've been hit by it so many times in this world that, yeah, at this point, I won't say I'm numb to it. There is a particular episode where there's a crawling into a certain appendix that's crazy.
That's, yeah.
But
yeah.
The blood, you're like, okay. I mean, it almost washes over you. The effect of it has been lessened.
Just like it does on Huey every time.
It's just been lessened. We're all Huey when it comes to the gore on The Boys.
It's, yeah, and but at the core of it, it subverts superhero expectations and, yeah, like, no, not everyone's going to be a good guy at the end of the day.
Like,
not,
the real, it's the real world.
It's 100% the real world.
If human beings had superhero powers, you would not be running into truth, justice, and American way over and over again. You would have legitimate people going, oh, I can take advantage of this?
Yeah.
It's what real life would be.
It's 100% that. And again, it mirrors in so many ways our current state, whether it's politics, whether it's just societal issues. It hits on a lot of notes, and I think it's one of the best shows out there.
I would agree. So what's your number one?
Number one, because I'm a Star Wars nerd, The Acolyte.
Okay.
I've been looking forward to the show for a long time.
Sorry, Lord of Ring heads.
Yeah, sorry.
That man.
It was an honorable mention.
And my reference is Rings of Power Season 2,
mm-hmm,
where the story is about, you know, the Second Age.
Yes.
You know how, for people who've seen Lord of the Rings, how it begins with the war where Sauron's hands cut off, the ring just kind of disappears, and it leads to to the major plot point of that trilogy. This is leading up to Sauron and Mordor and all that stuff. But hey, that's me talking about a show that's not on his list. Your number one is The Acolyte.
Yeah, Acolyte. It's martial arts focused. It's a whole new age to tell a story in Star Wars, which I think they need to do more of to give us things like, I mean, Andor is tangentially connected to like Skywalkers and stuff like that, but it's telling its own thing. I think if they lean into that more, I think they have something there, and this leans into that even more so. And I love the actors. I love the cast. Surprised how they opened up the first episode,
yeah,
with
too.
That certain character. Yeah, it's good so far. I want to rewatch it because I know I was watching it when I was tired.
Same.
I didn't catch
for the first episode.
I didn't catch everything, so I want to rewatch it. But yeah, I'm very much excited to continue.
It is surprising. Obviously, won't get given anything away that a character of that stat or an actor of that stature was used.
Yeah,
and then. Well, you'll better watch it. You'll be able to see it.
You know.
Sean, you're not a Star Wars person, right?
Not a huge one, no. So I haven't.
It's okay.
Yeah. I more of a LA Clippers guy, you know.
Clipped. Surprised. He wanted to talk about Clipped.
Clipped wasn't on it's, number six, I'm it, imagining.
It's an honorable mention, as well as Presumed Innocent with Jake Gyllenhaal and Apple TV Plus that comes out June 12th, which is actually next week. So those two are definitely up there for me as
okay.
well.
So if you want to,
I threw it in for you.
Thank you, MC.
You're welcome.
My two favorites: the LA Clippers
and Presumed Innocent.
Presumed Innocent
and Jake Gyllenhaal.
And Jake Gyllenhaal.
Shout out to Donnie
two
Darko.
Franchises.
So, the Jake Gyllenhaal franchise. Anything he does, that's the franchise you're in on.
The JGE.
The JGE. It is his first jumping into TV. So hey, there you go.
You sure about not your question? Not your statement, but you sure about it? Wasn't he in one of Prince of Persia? Were you in on that too?
Oh my god.
What, was I on?
Are you in on that version of the Jake Gyllenhaal's franchise, the Prince of Persia era?
I didn't love the brown face that he
no,
was doing.
Wasn't great.
No,
wasn't great.
Wasn't great.
Oh, so if you want to leave the house, we've given you options. If you don't want to leave your home, and of course, because of how the movie industry works, these movies will probably be in your home within a couple weeks. But if you actually want to go to the theater, let's start with Michael's number five.
So I had to make a live on-air adjustment because the reviews for this first one were coming in, the watchers.
Okay.
I was very curious about that, and now I'm seeing the reviews, and I'm like, never mind, I'm not curious about it anymore.
Yeah, they're not great.
I had a feeling, but it seems like it's been confirmed now.
I like an Elle Fanning, but
yeah,
the movie, you know, not being reviewed well.
Not well. So I'm going to throw Hitman in there.
That's being reviewed really well.
That releases today on Netflix with
Clint Powell,
who's playing a guy who fakes being a hitman. And it's inspired by a Texas Monthly article from I don't know when, but it's looks hilarious. It looks absurd, but it looks like a fun action thing. So there, I have that. I'll go quickly because I know we're running out of time.
No, we're going to combine, Brad.
Okay, we're going to combine.
You
okay,
got more
cool.
time.
Okay, good. Well, number four,
okay.
I'm going to throw in The Crow. August 23rd of this year, it's coming out. Did you watch the original?
I've seen it. I can't say I remember plot points.
I don't remember too much.
It used to be
either.
On like on HBO all the time when I was a kid.
Yes.
But I don't remember much. I would have to go back and watch it.
There was also a show on TV that was like on, I don't know, UPN.
I do remember that too.
Or something like that, or Channel 39 or whatever that I used to watch. But The Crow with Bill Skarsgård's coming out this fall or this summer, again, August 23rd. And if you want gore, this one has it for you. And it's a revenge tale to the fullest extent. He gets killed. Him and his love of his life get killed. And it's all about getting revenge in the afterlife.
He's coming back from the dead.
Yes.
To kill.
Because he made a deal or something.
Deal with a demon or a devil,
something
right?
Like something that. Like that. Yeah. So he's taking vengeance, as you do.
When people have killed you and your significant other, you come
exactly.
back to take vengeance.
That's exactly.
That's yes.
Yeah, that's what you do.
I'm on this side.
for number three, Quiet Place Day One, June 28th, the end of this month. June's a big month.
It is.
June 28th, Quiet Place Day One. The first two films have been great. Lupita Nyong'o is obviously the star in this one, as well as Joseph Quinn.
From Stranger Things.
He's from Stranger Things.
Long-haired rocker, if you don't know who Joe Quinn is. Yeah. From the show.
From the show.
Shorter hair in real life.
Also, Johnny Storm and Fantastic Four coming up. But this is obviously taking place the first day of when this whole situation with the Earth happens. And we'll see the journey of those two characters.
Yeah, we got some of that. Well, we've seen in the opening to Quiet Place 2, we saw what happens when you're in a town.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to see what these monsters do in a big city.
Yeah, and a bunch of them at that.
Like, yes, a lot of monsters.
I don't know. It's like 10, 20 at one time. Like, I don't know. It's a lot of them. So yeah. We'll see how that goes for everyone. Yeah. Not well.
Probably not well.
Probably not well.
Considering how terrifying those monsters are.
Speaking of monsters, number two, Alien Romulus.
I like the trailer for that one. I've seen all the trailers for what you're talking about. Romulus. I'm always in on the alien movies.
Not
the AVP movies,
no,
but the actual alien movies. I'm pretty much in on
this one. Like it feels very much like it's going back to those first couple of movies. Obviously, more horror based.
Sure.
And so it ties, I would say, more a little bit in with the 1979 version. It is set between the 1979 Alien and the Aliens. It's set between those events, but it's also kind of telling its own story. But I almost could think of it as like a fresh reboot for it, because I feel like it could go introduce these young characters that are investigating this derelict space station, obviously the aliens and all that. But it looks great. I think there's a new formula that they could utilize to tell like a new story with whoever the main. I think the main actress is from Civil War. The young journalist.
She was
from
also
that.
Priscilla in the Priscilla movie.
So
I wonder how that's going to work for her. Now, she was in Pacific Rim Uprising, the second of the Pacific Rim movies.
Was her, yeah.
She is small of stature.
She's very tiny.
She's playing, you know, not necessarily a Sigourney Weaver role, but you know, alien movies. It's generally a woman who is the action star. Even in the Prometheus movies, first you had, was it Noomi Rapace?
Yeah.
And then you had Catherine Waterston, mm-hmm. Waterston, who is the daughter of Sam Waterston from Law and Order, I believe. If you don't, I'm trying to draw all the connections.
Yeah.
So it's generally been and Catherine Waterston and Sigourney Weaver, noticeably taller, tall women. So I don't know, Noomi Rapace probably. If we're ranking them by height, I think it's Waterston, Weaver, Rapace, and now Spaney. I think that's how you say her last name.
I believe so, and I do like this because like the last couple have been. I don't know. They dive into like the meaning of, I don't know what they're doing, like the meaning of life and like
just, the engineers and all
that.
Yeah,
the engineers and stuff like that. Like just go back to basics.
Yeah.
Just go back to face huggers jumping at people and the aliens popping out and gosh.
Aliens always had, well, at least when Sigourney Weaver was there, it's really always been the case, the Final Girl vibes where everyone's dying except for the hero, and we'll see. I imagine it'll take that same formula.
I would imagine,
yeah.
Too. I mean, the first full trailer, they show you like one of the characters that's going to have a chest burster.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, this person, don't get attached. They're dying.
They're dying in this movie.
Don't worry about it. They're going
to
die.
We're laying it out for you to be prepared for this one. But yeah, I would imagine like there's a formula to it, but I think the director behind it, I think he understands how to bring a new telling of this story, which I'm excited for.
Excited for it too.
Number one, I run a show, Comic Cast. I mean, what do you expect? Deadpool and Wolverine, number one. I mean, what did you expect?
I thought it was going to be Horizon.
So close, but yet so far.
Part one or two?
Ooh, that's the question.
When it comes to the Kevin Costner movie.
That's the question.
Well, we've got to start at the beginning. I mean, got to know how he gets on that Horizon.
It's very true.
It's true. Well, we do know how Deadpool gets on this Horizon with the TVA and everything, but this looks like not only a fun Deadpool story, obviously you have Wolverine, which takes it up 10 notches, but you also, I think it's like a final send-off for a lot of the Fox universe of X-Men characters.
July 26th is when Deadpool and Wolverine comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe... Are you putting it at the level of this thing needs to save the MCU as we know it?
I don't think it needs to save it. I think it just needs to show, and I think it will show, that you don't have to have a PG-13 MCU product, and they're going to lean heavy into the hard R rating. But this is, I think inherently it was going to do well just because it's Deadpool and Wolverine. I think I would be more looking at the MCU, something more like, I'm trying to think, what's the next one? Captain America. I think that one is one where you're going to be like, is this, are people into it or are people kind of fading off of it?
Yeah, Sam Wilson, it's on you.
It's on you, Sam Wilson.
It's on you, Cap.
Yeah.
It's on you.
The new Cap. Michael, I want to thank you for this. Did you have any tough cuts for movies?
I do want to mention Beverly Hills Cop. Axel Foley is coming out.
Do you think it's going to be any good?
I don't know.
Because, you know,
I respect that.
The Beverly Hills Cops movies
wouldn't
play well today, all the humor that's involved.
I don't know.
I don't know how, if they're going to clean it up, how they're going to get that done.
I don't know. I was a fan of them when I was a kid, so
I was
to throw it in there. And the first trailer was all right, but I don't know.
Yeah, so Eddie Murphy back as Axel Foley. Is there going to be an angry sergeant who says you're ruining the city when he's on the verge of retirement? Will they lean into that meme again? I would love it.
Have to.
But thank you, Michael Carroll, for giving us an extensive wrap-up or preview of what you should be watching, movie perspective, and if you simply don't want to leave your home, if you're a hermit. I get it. He's giving you options. We are done for the day. Well, by we, I mean me. The rest of these guys got more work to do.
Oh, man.
Sorry, just how it is.
A couple blue-collar guys, us and MC.
Yeah, that's true.
Breaking rocks here.
I'm not feeling bad. Got up at 4:30.
Oh, God.
Every day I do that, so I'm not feeling bad for you two. Gallant and George up next. The Killer Bees, follow them. Comicast, 9 to 10 on ESPN 97.5 on Fridays.
Correct.
And obviously in podcast form as well. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.